What's going on, my friends? Tony Stephan back here with another episode of the School Success Podcast. I'm tripping over my own words today because it's Friday, and that's what you do on Fridays. You kind of just let your mind go to the weekend and think about other things. But today I'm joined by my friend, Dustin, who is the macros coach on Instagram. He's a big time nutrition coach and a great resource for nutrition advice. So, dude, I'm so excited to have you here, man. What's going on, brother?
Oh, not much, man. Appreciate you having me on. Appreciate you asking me to join you on this. Appreciate it.
Dude, absolutely. So how did you come up with the name The Macros Coach? And I don't know if that's just your Instagram tag or if that's like what your clients call you, but how did that come apart, man?
I started personal training in 2008 at LA Fitness. And then June of 2009, I separated from LA Fitness. And ever since then, I've been independent. My original business name was Texas Elite Fitness, which is the reason why I'm based out of Texas. And that was my DBA up till end of 2014. I had started doing macros back in as of 2010, started competing 2011. But not the full idea of flexible dieting to what it is out today and what people utilize that approach and, the terminology or whatever they want to use. But it wasn't, like I said, until 2015, beginning of that year, I was prepping for the Arnold Classic up in Ohio. And that was my 12th competition since 2011. So since I had got accepted to compete at the Arnold, I was just excited to go and compete. So I had no expectations at all. So that prep, I did a full IFYM prep, which means I ate Chick-fil-A, I ate Pop-Tarts, I ate all the foods that you normally wouldn't eat on a contest prep diet plan, or at least in the past. And I just remember one day, I mean, my Instagram was Dustin M. Rhodes, my name, and I just one day changed it to, actually it was a macros coach, online macros coach, I think is what I was at first. And then it just kind of took off from there. My following started to grow. Business started to grow. I actually was doing in-person training up to end of 2014. Beginning of 2015, when I was prepping for the Arnold, business online started to just explode. And once I kind of found that niche, I guess you can say, is what I found was macros and flexible dieting and the macros coach. Well, I remember trying to get a new DBA. I mean, not DBA, a new domain, because my website prior to that was TexasEliteFitness.com. And somebody already had MacrosCoach.com. It was already purchased from somebody. So that's why, like I said, I had the online macros coach. But then some gentleman happened to message me out of the clear blue and said, "Hey, man, I see that you're using the online macros coach, you know, social media. I own macroscoach.com. I'll give it to you." So I was like, okay, cool. So I took on the domain. I had changed my actual Instagram to Macros Coach. And then, like I said, business just took off to where I was making over $1,000 a day in new clientele. I mean, for weeks at a time. I can remember from February of 2015 all the way through March, I probably made a little over $1,000 every single day. And so it just kind of grew from there. Then I decided to take my DBA and move it to an LLC. And that's when I registered the name, business name, Macros Coach LLC within the United States, and also trademarked it. So it's also trademarked. I have the official documentations of Macros Coach. Like, I officially own the business name here within the United States, at least. I mean, sure, Outside the United States is a different story. But that's how it all came about. And ever since January of 2015, February 2015, my business has been 100% online. I haven't done any personal training or needed to ever since. I am looking to get back into it because I do miss that side of the fitness world, and kind of having that one-on-one connection with people face-to-face wise. But that's just where the business name came. And ever since, like I said, since then, that's where we've been at. It's been one fun ride. It's a learning experience, every day trying to evolve, trying to, you know, improve myself so I can help my clients improve as well.
Dude, I love that, man. I totally love that story for a couple of reasons. Number one, I started off, so I'm in Michigan. I started off training at LA Fitness myself in about 2008, 2009. And dude, I think we could both probably tell some horror stories about LA Fitness, but you know, I feel like that's like the common starting point. I don't know how they paid down there, but for us it was $6 a session. Was that the same for you guys?
Yeah, you did 30 minute sessions, $6 a session. So, you know, trainers can only make about $12 an hour. Unless they had been there for a super long time and they're getting their sessions a little bit more. But yeah, the average pay was, you know, basically $12 an hour. But eventually I actually, after a couple months of training, I actually went into the management side of it, not realizing really how much more stressful it was on the corporate side. But eventually I was able to get lucky enough to eventually become the training general manager here at the location here in Texas, Euless location, which is Euless, Texas. So eventually I became the training general manager for the location there. But once I got on that side of the corporate scene and how much they were just more about the money and not necessarily worried about helping people out, they were just about that EFT payment. I just got kind of tired of it. So I, like I said, in June of 2009 is when I separated from them. And for about the first year, I did in-home training with like clients that I had recently had at the LA Fitness at the time, that I had the last like 10 people I think I signed up, I actually talked them into staying with me, even though I was supposed to set them up with a trainer there. But since I was the training general manager, I had obviously that first contact with them. You know, I sold them the program, but I gave them the opportunity to even come and work with me outside. And so for first year, I did, like I said, in-person training, in-home. And then eventually started training at different private gyms around the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. But like I said, as of 2015, that's when the business went from in-person training to online training. And just the macros, flexible dieting has just been my niche and just something that I've continued to try to improve. I mean, I'm not the best out there, but I, you know, I'm not here to compare myself to anybody. The key is just to focus on yourself and, you know, and be yourself and be, you know, be unique, be your own, and just do what you got to do to help others achieve at the highest level.
Totally, man. Totally. And I love that because it's just so true that, you know, so many people when they come in the fitness industry, they want to come out of the floodgates, or they want to come out of school and they want to make $1,000 per day. But it's like you got to start somewhere. And for most people, they're not willing to start off, you know, being paid $6 per session like we were, to learn the business, to learn the coaching aspect, to learn, you know, the client retention aspect. So props to you, man, because I totally agree. It's hard to start with that. So let's shift a little bit. And you said something that was really interesting there of you started doing the flexible dieting in the contest prep scene, to where back when it was like, what are you doing? Like you ate ice cream in your prep? Like, no way, man, that it's only chicken, broccoli, and whitefish and asparagus. So can you talk a little, and dude, that's still even today, some people still refuse to accept the science of flexible dieting, but can you talk about just your experience with that and kind of like being a pioneer for that and just like what you went through and the things you saw and just why you chose a flexible approach to nutrition?
Well, before I started competing, I actually went to ATI, Career Training School, for my NASM, CPT, CS, and PS certifications. And I can remember at the very beginning, we did a first 8 weeks was a 9-month, you know, course, but the first 8 weeks was a nutrition course. And I can remember that's when I learned, you know, macros and how to, you know, break them down, utilizing a Harris-Benedict equation. And for that whole 8 weeks, we had to do a food journal and literally write down all our macros and what we ate for the 8 weeks. And that was our, you know, a project for the end of the 8 week period. And so that's how I learned. So from that point, you know, I would track my macros from literally anything. And I can remember even, you know, drinking grape juice and somebody saying something to me, well, the sugar, what about the sugar? It's so bad. And I was like, you know, at that time, not realizing, you know, and having the knowledge I have now today, but thinking that, well, it's just sugar. I'm just hitting my macros, you know, what's the problem? So then after that, I got into competing in 2011. I remember beginning of January 2011 is when someone, a local trainer, had asked me about competing. He's like, you know, I know you're natural. I know you, you know, eat really healthy. You know, why don't you, have you thought about competing? And I was like, oh yeah, I've always thought about competing, but you know, I'm not that big. And he's like, Well, on the natural side, it's a little bit different. It's more about your aesthetic, your balance, your symmetry, your conditioning. Not always so much of your size for the non-drug tested federations. So whenever I would look up any kind of research on the internet about contest prep, it was like, hey, you don't have to count calories or macros if you just eat these foods. So to me, that's kind of when the terminology of clean eating, bro dieting was kind of being thrown around on social media. So of course, that's what I remember following those first few shows that I did. I didn't eat fruit. I wouldn't eat dairy. I would do fasted cardio in the mornings and do an hour cardio in the evening time. And I can remember my very first show, I got second place. Of course, I was excited. Found out there was another show about 6-8 weeks later. Decided to do that show. Got third place. Then, of course, was excited about that. Then turned around, I think 6-8 weeks later, did another show. Then turned around a month later, did another show. And by that time, I remember by the fourth show, I was so burnt out from the old, basically old school dieting, the restriction, having this so-called thinking you had to eat every 3 hours or every 2 hours to so-called increase your metabolism. So I can remember after that fourth show, and I had the fifth show a week later already scheduled. But I can remember almost thinking I wasn't going to do it because I was like, this is insane. This is like, how do people do this? And I remember coming across a video of Dr. Lane Norton, and it was one of his first probably videos about metabolic damage. And it just kind of all made sense why diets in general just don't work. You know, it just leads you in one direction. And eventually, if you don't know how to reverse diet, you're eventually going to have to, you're going to hit a plateau or eventually get tired of following the plan and go back to old habits and just gain all the weight back. So I remember going, okay, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to go back to actually tracking my macros from whatever foods I want and just give my body time to adjust because, the whole idea was, hey, you can't eat a donut. You can't eat a Pop-Tart without gaining weight. That's just, at that time, that's how people perceived any kind of diets is you can't eat certain foods on any diet approach, especially a contest prep plan. So I remember at the end of 2011 going to 2012 for I think I didn't compete for almost another year, probably about 10 months later before I competed again. And actually it was, last show was basically a year. So, I did my fifth show that first year, August of 2011, and I didn't compete again until August of 2012. So that year, during that year is when I started to actually fully track macros and eat foods that I loved. And eventually my body adjusted and I started getting leaner and I started thinking, okay, maybe there is some madness to this, science evidence base, but until you actually go through it, sometimes it's hard to believe. Even when you read the evidence, it's just like one of those things. Do you really want to, can you actually believe the information? So I think July of 2012 started coming around. I decided to start prepping for the Europa of 2012. I, again, didn't trust the whole idea of prepping for a show, utilizing whatever foods you want. So I, did probably more of your, healthy, clean eating approach, but still somewhat tracked macros. But like I said, it wasn't until the full idea until about end of, 2014 going into 2015 when I started prepping for the Arnold, because at that point I had no expectations. So that's when I got a chance, to experience the full idea of flexible dieting, and how it can actually be beneficial if you just do it correctly and stay consistent. Most people just don't want to be consistent and don't want to actually put in the effort to actually track everything correctly and measure everything correctly. A lot of people fail because they're always consistently trying to estimate, they think it's that flexible and it can be for some, but not for the most.
Dude, I love that. And that reminds me of, this was a while ago, but I was on your Instagram and I saw you had a video and I remember I laughed out loud because it was so, direct and clear to the point. And it was three reasons you're not seeing results or three reasons you're not seeing changes. Number one, you're not following the plan. And I forget the other two, but it's pretty much you're either not tracking everything properly or you're just not being consistent enough, something along those lines. I was with my wife, I showed her, I'm like, this dude gets it. And this dude straight up just saying 100% of the truth, because that's exactly right, man, is you know, and there's different timetables, right? So obviously you just talked about competing. I've competed. We both know, and you work with a lot of competitors. You know, you post tons of social proof with all your clients. So we know when you're competing, dude, if you're not showing up, you know, putting in your best effort and tracking everything to the gram, and you know, if you're estimating, you're not going to get the best results. So in that realm, you have to do that. So of course, Mrs. Jones wants to lose 100 pounds. You know, she doesn't need to weigh out every single ounce just like a competitor would. But can you talk a little bit more about that with when people start with flexible dieting? You know, and I've had this, I'm sure you've had this, to where people think they can get away with not getting a food scale or not measuring out their food. Like, oh no, I can look at a chicken breast and say, ah, oh, it's about 8 ounces. Can you just speak to why that maybe isn't the best approach?
Well, for the most part, most people don't know how to eyeball correctly. And I think that's where some people can get away with, you know, your, what you would call intuitive eating by, you know, understanding portions based on their size, you know, whether it's, you know, using your fist as a guidance, your hand, whatever. But I think what happens is a lot of people will try to estimate things, and then it sorts either domino effect, either eating, they're eating too much or they're not eating enough. And so that can cause the inconsistencies when it comes to tracking. And that's where a lot of people, I think, that, you know, aren't getting the results they're looking for is they're not tracking properly. Like you said, not logging, trying to eyeball things. That's why I think it's very important to make sure you do track everything as much as you can, because there's going to be days and times that you're unable to do that. I mean, not everybody's going to be able to bring a scale everywhere they go. I do. I don't really care what anybody says or thinks, but I know a lot of people don't have that type of mindset. So it is important to track to, you know, get the best results. But what I do with a lot of new clients, I know tracking right off the bat, especially hitting carbs, putting fats, is very overwhelming to a lot of people, especially if they've never done it before. So usually what I like to do with people is, you know, to get them comfortable is just focus on tracking, you know, their overall protein need and maybe their overall calories, and then get them kind of used to that, just comfortable at tracking what they're currently eating, make sure, you know, teach them how to make sure they're measuring everything properly. They're weighing everything properly, you know, not just going, teach them more about nutritional labels, not just going always off the label. Cause a lot of people don't realize that a lot of times it'll say about 2 servings. It's not saying 2 servings exactly. So just try to educate people on why it's important, to either weigh or eyeball, whatever it seems to be the best approach for that individual. I think that's what can help as being a coach is finding the best approach for your clients. Not the same approach is going to work for everybody. So that's one thing I've also learned over the years of doing online coaching, is learning to, you know, be flexible with the coaching approach of how you approach their, you know, abilities to achieve their goals. But yeah, I think it's super important to understand that tracking and measuring appropriately is, it helps you learn. It educates you along the process of the way, because like you said, if they're eyeballing things but it's either over and under, they obviously don't have a good sense of idea what they need to, those portions need to be.
And tell me if you've experienced this as well. I've noticed a lot when I get a client who comes over from the clean eating mentality of, okay, it doesn't matter how much I eat, or, you know, portion sizes don't matter. All that matters is just eat clean. That's all that matters. And then you introduce them to tracking, which creates awareness, and awareness always precedes change, and flexibility of like, hey, look, if you want a serving of Ben and Jerry's and it fits in your daily total and we hit your protein and fiber goals, that's totally okay. Do you find that people are like relieved, like, and they feel, even though it's more work, because let's be honest, it's easier just to say, oh, I'll eat clean and only eat chicken and broccoli all day, but they feel so much more relieved and kind of just like a weight is off their shoulders of like, oh my God, I can have ice cream with my kids and not feel like a piece of shit about it because I cheated on my meal plan. Like, have you noticed that as well?
Oh yeah. Whenever somebody is used to that approach where they're only able to, you know, eat certain things, the look on their face, you can almost see it through the phone, basically, when you're talking to them. Their eyes, just, you can know that they're lit up and thinking, wow, I can actually, this could be more, this, and the immediate result, or actually immediate thing that they'll say is, wow, now I see how this can be sustainable.
Right.
Because their approach prior wasn't sustainable. So when you say, all right, you know what? You're going to be able to not only eat, learn how to eat the right foods, but you're going to be able to eat your favorite treats and all in moderation. This will help you less likely to cheat and binge eat down the road and give you a long-term sustainable approach. And when you tell them that and they start to understand that, it's like, wow. They're like, thank you. You're going to actually save me. And that's one thing I think the reason why a lot of people, their weight stalls out is, you know, eating too restricted and generally not enough calories. And eventually that's why their weight loss stalls. And that's one thing I do love about the idea of, you know, reverse dieting, which is something I actually got a chance to experiment during that prep for the Arnold, which was super amazing. I mean, I went from 2,300 calories to 4,000 calories going into the show 6 weeks out. So, you know, everything's an experience and everything's, you know, something that has to be taken, you know, with the right mindset.
So let me put myself in the seat of the person listening to this podcast who maybe doesn't know exactly what a reverse diet is. So could you explain like what a reverse diet is? And let's take it away from the context of contest prep, like so post-show recovery, and let's just use it for like Mrs. Jones who has, let's say she has a big weight loss goal, but let's say she wants to lose 100 pounds. And let's say she's lost about 70 pounds, but she got to the point to where she's eating about 1,000 calories per day and going to the gym 6-7 days per week. Could you explain the importance of, A, what is reverse dieting, and in the context of someone, general population, who has like plateaued out and can't go any lower in calories, like how a reverse diet could help them achieve that end goal?
Well, reverse diet just simply is, you know, reverse dieting back up in calories and primarily coming from carbs and fats. Generally, after being in a low-calorie diet or, you know, caloric deficit diet approach, fat loss, weight loss approach, after a period of time. So over a period of time, you're able to slowly add calories back into the diet, primarily to get them back to maintenance calories once they've achieved their ultimate goal. And then depending on what the goal is from there, you can continue to increase your calories from there to help build tissue, fill the muscles out more, and hopefully, obviously, build muscle. But generally, most people that are in a diet, you know, they focus on lowering calories because as you lose weight, the body only needs so many calories. But at a certain point, the body will then stall out. And so at that point, a reverse diet is very optimal for most people that have been in a weight loss approach for a period of time or a long period of time for that. But it generally, like I said, adding calories primarily back in diet will help you increase not only your strength, will also increase your lean muscle mass, and also if done properly, it can also help you continue to burn fat, getting that last little bit of extra fat after being in that low calorie diet for that long. Because a lot of people will hit that, you know, plateau area where they lost so many pounds, but they still have a little bit of belly fat. And like I said, I think that's when you reverse diet appropriately, you can actually lose that last little bit of body fat by slowly adding calories back into the diet, which will help increase that metabolism or even jumpstart the metabolism again to help you start, like I said, burning fat, increasing strength, and building lean muscle.
Absolutely, man. And I think it also has so much merit for someone who maybe they do hit their goal, but then they're like, holy smokes, like I'm at 1,200 calories per day. I'm doing 5 days of cardio per week. Like, okay, I look great, but how the hell am I ever going to like sustain this lifestyle? How can I go out for girls' night out and only eat 1,200 calories? So it's also a way to, like you said, just build up to healthy maintenance while maintaining your current aesthetics. And would you agree that most like quote diet or macro or nutrition coaches, they don't talk about that. They talk about getting you to your goals, but then they're like, all right, you're on your own. Peace out. Good luck. Especially like these weight loss programs to where like with these medical centers and all that crap, that's like 1,000 calories per day or 800 calories per day. It's like, yeah, good job. They helped you lose, you know, 70 pounds in 90 days. But then what the hell are you supposed to do afterwards?
Exactly. And that's why I was saying earlier about when I came across the Dr. Lane's video back in 2011 of his metabolic damage is why diets didn't work. And, you know, in general, not just contest prep wise, but just in general, it's because they only lead you in one direction, which is dieting down. They don't teach you about dieting up. So I think that's why we're people that have maybe never been through the process or don't have a good understanding, because I think no matter what how much you can read on it on a topic, or you can look at some evidence-based research on a certain topic, until you somewhat go through it or experience it with a client, it's actually hard to sometimes believe for a lot of people. So like when I experienced my first opportunity with reverse dieting is when I was prepping for the Arnold Classic. I got my acceptance email December 14th of 2014. I remember I was around 3,300 calories or so at that time. So the next 6 weeks, I slowly brought my calories down. And I don't know what my macros were, but I slowly brought the macros down until I got it about 2317. That number sticks in my head like it was yesterday. But I got down to 2317 calories. And I had slowly dropped from like 177 to like 165 pounds. And I'd always read, you know, prior to that about reverse dieting, but the whole idea of adding calories back into your plan and actually possibly helping you lose more weight or lose more body fat was really, I think nobody really could, you know, I didn't really understand at that time. But I remember during that prep, I weighed myself like every day. I took photos every morning, really monitored myself because I was, you know, coaching myself. And I remember January 25th, literally 6 weeks into prep, 6 weeks left to go, I happened to go over on my calories, my macros or carbs or whatever, that night. And the next day, I woke up a little bit lighter, and I, based on photos, I was a little bit leaner. I can see a little bit more vascularity. So I was like, okay. So I kind of rode with that, and my body was able to adapt really quick. So I, like I said, I went in from 6 weeks out, January 25th, the show was March 6th, and I went from 2,300 calories to like 4,000 calories within that short time frame, and dropped from 165.3, I think, pounds as of January 25th to 156.2 the day of the show. And I was literally almost eating 100% more calories, almost more. So at that point, that's when I was a true believer in reverse dieting. And I can remember, even at that time, posting about my progress, my own personal progress, just my photos, before and afters, and my macros into the IFYM official group Facebook page. Well, one of the guys named Jason Elks or something like that, he was an admin for the page, just constantly just basically tore me down and just said I didn't know what I was doing. He didn't believe in reverse dieting. Time to do a reverse diet. He thinks that you should just go from being in a deficit, hitting your goal, and then just going and then bringing the calories all the way back up to where they need to be at maintenance without a reverse diet. So he eventually kicked me out of the and banned me from the group. So at that point, that's when I was like, you know what? Bye. I'll go start my own group. And so I have my own private group. I started as counting macros. Then it changed to macro dieting. But now it's currently called macros and training, because obviously I do macros and I do training. So that's what my group is called. And that was the reason why I even started that group. Because like I said, I got kicked out by an admin of their, you know, IFYM's official group page or whatever. So that was my first experience with reverse dieting. And so, I mean, how could you just, you know, okay, what do you call it? What's the word I'm looking for? But disregard the idea of flexibility if you're done correctly. But I think a lot of people don't do it correctly and it's abused and will say it doesn't work. And they'll say, well, I just get fat when I reverse diet. Well, it's because you're not consistent, is my opinion. Because I've had personal results and you can, you know, obviously get leaner, get stronger, build more muscle tissue during that process. So that's the beauty, I think, the beauty about flexible dieting. And I think that if people actually understood that and understood how this works, it's literally a process of dieting down, reverse dieting up, dieting down, reverse dieting up. And it's a process over time, you know, and utilizing a reverse dieting approach helps people, you know, build up a healthier metabolism, which is what I found over the years of working with a lot of, like, especially females. Most females these days are coming off like you know, the 1,000, 1,200 calories or even less approaches. So, you know, I've got a chance to to utilize the reverse dieting approach on like almost every client that I've worked with, and because they're always coming generally from a low calorie approach. So I love reverse dieting. I love the idea of it. Love the idea of, you know, just tracking macros and the whole science behind it all.
Dude, absolutely. So I want to ask you one more question about that. So let's take that female client. Because typically when we associate hypocaloric or very low calorie dieting, usually females are kind of in conjunction with that. So let's say if you get a client, do you work solely with competitors or do you work general population as well?
Mainly general population. I mean, I compete obviously myself. I've competed 21 times, but I would say 75% of my clientele is just the general population. I think also being a natural athlete, and a lot of my followers on social media are males, and they're between the ages of 25 to 34. So since I promote natural bodybuilding, that also defers a lot of clientele possibilities, because I won't do anything that coach anybody that's enhanced for performance enhancement reasons and bodybuilding wise. So I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
Okay. So perfect. So you work mostly with general population. So let's say you have a client who comes to you and she spent years yo-yo dieting. So years going on the quick fixes, years going on the cleanses, years going on the whole 30s in the, you know, whatever, the clean eating diet from, the magazines. And she's at a point to where, you know, she tracks her intake and let's say her average intake is about 1,000 calories per day. But she's not losing weight and she has to lose, for her goal, let's say 25 to 30 pounds. Like, can you talk about how reverse dieting would even benefit her at that point compared to just trying to continue to diet and not seeing results?
Well, if they're obviously already, you know, been following a low calorie approach and they've, you know, lost a certain amount of weight and up to this point, they still got a certain amount of weight to lose, but they're still having that trouble losing that extra bit of weight. Most people, that's where, like I said, the reverse dieting principle will come in effect, and knowing where they're currently at metabolically versus just going off, you know, information such as their age, height, and weight, but understanding where they're currently at, you know, nutrition wise. And I think that's, you know, with people that have those kind of, or utilizing low calorie approaches already, and they, you know, can't lose the extra weight, utilizing that extra calories, that it's like fuel to your car. As you give it gas, it's going to obviously have more torque, more power into it versus someone that doesn't have a gas tank that doesn't have any gas. So same concept with fueling the body appropriately with the right amount of calories. And that's going to help you. Using a reverse diet will help with that, especially with somebody that has been on a low calorie diet and their weight loss has kind of stalled out. So utilizing a reverse dieting, adding calories will not only help boost their metabolism, but we'll start to help them increase strength, give them more energy to start burning more calories. And as that starts to happen, their body needs even more calories to fuel that body. So as you slowly add more calories in, they're obviously going to increase strength, build muscle, and burn more fat.
Love it. Love it. And for everyone listening, this is not the stuff that the weight loss gurus are talking about. Like you said, even in that big, you know, group about flexible dieting, someone was so ignorant to just refute someone else's not just like point, but like actual science that's going on, and just like kind of be so blind by it and like ban you out of it. So this is, and especially for anyone who, because there's a good population of dietitians or, you know, students that listen to this podcast, this is not the shit they teach you in school, but this is the real world application of sustainable fat loss. It's not just about losing weight. Anyone can lose weight. I think we would both agree with that, but very few people can get to a point of having lost weight or changing their body aesthetically and sustaining that for the rest of their life without going crazy by only eating chicken and broccoli.
Exactly. And I think this is a reason why I've been able to maintain online clients since 2015. And even as of 2014, I still work with the same people. I've got a clientele that I would say probably 60% have been with me since 2015 straight because of understanding, utilizing the reverse dieting concept as well as part of, you know, their nutritional approach, whatever that it may be per individual. But having that, you know, that knowledge, like you said, they don't teach you in school. I wasn't taught this. You know, I didn't get a chance to, you know, I read about it online, you know, from different sources, but until you actually go through it yourself, it's a hard concept to understand. I mean, like I said, you know, when I would post in the IFM Macros group, I mean, the guy was an admin in the group. He was supposed to be this, you know, evidence-based, actually, tell you what, his business is evidence-based training or something like that. So he's an evidence-based type guy. And it was just I mean, I was appalled that the guy would literally kicked me out and said I didn't know what I was talking about. And to be honest with you, I didn't really probably know what I was talking about when it came to reverse dieting at that time, because I was just going through the process myself and putting myself through the process. I wasn't having anybody help me or, you know, give me guidance and everything. So I did it was all a personal learning experience for myself. But yeah, it's definitely not something these weight loss, you know, programs teach at all. But I think it's something very vital if you want to be a good nutrition coach, to understand the concept of reverse dieting and how it could be beneficial, to clients, especially like you said, a client that comes, you know, probably from a clean eating, low calorie approach, to where they're probably, you know, at 1,000 calories and their weight has stalled. You know, that's, you know, knowing that concept is going to helps a lot of people, especially in those types of positions. I think if someone would then have that type of knowledge, trying to, you know, force them to go in even low calories just sets people up for, you know, malnutrition, you know, I mean, just tons of metabolic issues that will cause them, possibly put them in the hospital. So that's something that's always been my goal, is never to have a client go to the hospital. I always pride on that, because I can remember back in 2013 or 2012, I can remember training at a gym in South Lake. I don't want to say the name, but it was a big contest prep gym where just about everybody in the DFW would literally travel there, especially in the evening times, just to train. And we had always had a great environment, but some of the coaches there, at least from before I got there, were known to put some girls in the hospital due to super low calories and probably putting them on drugs. I don't know. Sure. So that's something I, you know, has always kind of stuck with me. Once, you know, when I saw, you know, certain people, you know, obviously competing over the years, meetings, you know, not lately, but at the first, 2011, 2012, meeting people at that time that were competing and seeing how they were going through, you know, through their preps, how they would post leading up to the shows and then how they would post after the show. You know, it would just be like, oh, everything's so good leading up to the show. But then they would turn around after the show, complain about how their diet was so restricted, how they did too much cardio, how they literally went to, had to go to the hospital and everything. So I've always had this idea, like, I'm never going to have anybody go to the hospital in my book. I don't care if you get first place or last place in a show, for example, you're not going to the hospital. Bottom line, you will never go to the hospital. So that's just something I've always take pride on.
Oh, totally, man. It's about achieving your goals. But at the end of the day, it's the funniest thing ever, right? Like bodybuilding or men's physique or whatever, bikini contests, they're supposed to be about health and like displaying the ideal healthy physique. And when in all reality, a lot of the shit that goes on is some of the most unhealthy things ever. You know, we could talk all day about that. So I totally agree, man. Never putting aesthetics or winning a, you know, $10 trophy over your own health. So, dude, this has been great, man. This has been very, very knowledgeable, very, very informative. If people want to find you and get more of your content, connect with you, where should they go?
You can find me on Instagram at macroscoach, on my website, macroscoach.com, and then on Facebook, macroscoach.
Pretty simple.
And then you can also find me on my personal Instagram page at Dustin M. Rhodes.
Pretty simple. I will link to all that in the podcast description. So dude, thank you so much for taking time out of your Friday to spend with us here, man, and drop all this knowledge. Anything else that you would like to add as we're wrapping up here?
I think you had mentioned when you said something about one of my videos from the past, I just, you know, about the three reasons why, you know, I felt like people don't get the results they're looking for. I think about, you know, anybody listening to this is, you know, consistency is going to be the key. And it's always about, you know, it's not just about following your macros or following maybe even a, you know, meal plan or whatever they decide to follow. But if you don't have the proper mindset on a daily basis, no matter what plan you're following, it's not going to work. So I always just want to, you know, hopefully, you know, inspire others to, you know, be consistent, have patience, and just give it time. This isn't a process that's going to happen overnight. It's definitely not a sprint. It's always going to be a marathon. And if you have that idea of, you know, long-term, you're going to be successful. People sometimes think of short-term And I feel like that's not the right mindset. And that's why I feel like, my opinion, why people fail. So if anybody's listening, if I had to say anything, just have a good mindset, stay consistent, have patience, and give it time.
Dude, that's perfect. That's a perfect summation there. That could be a whole podcast in itself about the mindset of success with nutrition and going from a 30-day approach to, you know, doing something for the next 30 years of your life that's sustainable. So perfect way to top it off, man. Absolutely loved it. Thank you so much for your time today, brother. Truly appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Tony. I appreciate your time and having me on.